CSIS officials confirmed during the Foreign Interference Commission that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau received briefings on foreign election meddling before the 2019 election.
Justice Minister Arif Virani clarified that the Liberal government's divisive online hate speech bill will not penalize Canadians for insults, offensive comments, or inappropriate jokes.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau unveiled an updated defense policy committing to an extra $73 billion for military expenditure over 20 years, with a focus on addressing climate change effects. Hello, Canada. It's Wednesday, April 9th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau had been made aware of foreign election interference via briefings in the lead-up to the 2019 election. CSIS officials testified during the Foreign Interference Commission. A witness testified on Monday that as of late September and early October 2019, Trudeau was aware of allegations relating to election interference in the Don Valley North Riding in Toronto, won by former Liberal MP Han Dong. The 2019 election took place on October 21st. CSIS's testimony called into question some of Trudeau's past statements about how much prior knowledge he had of the foreign interference scheme targeting Canada's elections. According to Global News, CSIS intelligence officials knew Chinese international students were being bused from a private secondary school to the Don Valley North Riding to vote in Dong's nomination contest. Witnesses testifying before the commission were referred to a document that lists briefings the PM received in relation to allegations of foreign interference in the Don Valley North Riding during the nomination campaign. However, the Privy Council's records appear to be incomplete and the briefings were, quote, not reflected in the Privy Council institutional report. The Prime Minister was asked whether or not he'd been briefed on the possible interference in Dong's riding during a news conference in February 2023, but he evaded the question, instead pivoting reporters' concerns towards anti-Asian racism. So, Noah, we will be seeing Trudeau testify later today. In fact, it could be happening right when this episode gets published, and I hope he gets challenged on this, because a year back, he was telling a totally different story. When these allegations first came out, it was all denial and as if he didn't know anything about what had taken place. But now it's very clear that the Prime Minister had direct knowledge about these instances. Noah, do you expect in his testimony that the Prime Minister will be more upfront this time?
I would hope so, Cosmin, because this is a very, very serious issue. This is a matter of the integrity of Canada's election and overall democratic process. If the allegations are true, if in fact Han Dong was elected in the nomination contest and ultimately in the riding of Don Valley North with the help of a foreign entity, that could mean that our elections are in fact not fair, at least in certain ridings, that those elections are not fair. The will of the constituents can be manipulated by a foreign and hostile power, a power that seeks to invade the free and democratic nation of Taiwan, a power that seeks to control other nations through its Belt and Road program, through hostile loans and such matters. So I believe that Justin Trudeau not taking this issue seriously and just deflecting reporters' questions with the retort that, oh, this is just anti-Asian racism and you can't question the election of Han Dong, is really concerning. And it just shows that our prime minister just uses the cynical accusation of racism just to ignore criticism and to slough off criticism and to instead just ignore his poor record of governance. You know, as the chief governor of Canada, he should be the one who takes these accusations the most seriously and is the most concerned with the integrity of our elections. But if the election interference perhaps benefits his party, if it gets a Liberal MP elected, perhaps he will look the other way. And even if that isn't true, the fact that he isn't taking this issue more seriously just goes to give him the perception that he doesn't take matters seriously when it benefits a Liberal MP. So I think this is very serious stuff. And if the Prime Minister lied about this issue and was actually aware of Han Dong being backed by the PRC and receiving help from the PRC as far back as 2019, and there was the 2019 election and the 2021 elections that has happened in between then and now, I think that just is a great cause for concern. And beyond just sort of the partisan and ideological issues that some people might have with Justin Trudeau, for him to, as Prime Minister, not take issues of our democratic integrity seriously just goes to invalidate his worthiness to be Canada's Prime Minister.
Yeah, and I'd just like to remind listeners that this isn't just the 2019-2021 election. There has been testimony in committee that this goes way back, like decades back to Mulroney and even before him. China has been trying to influence Canada's political climate and policy for a very long time. And it's not only China. It's also Iran. It's also India, which is very obvious with recent happenings. And it's also Russia and other countries. It seems like everybody is involved in trying to meddle in what happens in Canada and what public opinion is, but also what happens in the halls of power. So are we ever going to get a full account of this stuff? Because this particular commission, Noah, only covers such a small period of time considering the huge history of foreign meddling.
I think it's impossible to get a full accounting of this. I mean, the only true, like, full accounting we could get of, you know, foreign interference into Canada's elections is if, you know, we got China and India and Russia and Iran to be, you know, just transparent of how they've been interfering into our elections, which is obviously never going to happen. What really needs to happen, though, is a full investigation into how many elections were affected by foreign interference, the degree to which there was foreign interference, and if our past prime ministers and cabinet ministers have been ignoring this issue. I mean, the fact that this has been going on for decades now is really concerning, and the fact that we don't really have the laws on the books to protect against foreign interference is even more concerning. One of the lines in the report that came out last year was that there is not enough disincentives in the criminal code and not enough political disincentives against foreign interference. That needs to change. That just means that the government needs to pass some laws that will protect against foreign interference. And that also means that Canadians need to wake up and be far more concerned about the integrity of our democracy, the integrity of our elections, and just being free from the influence of foreign actors that do not have the best interests of Canada at heart. So I think that, you know, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau not taking this issue seriously is something that is not unique to him as a prime minister, but at the same time, it is something that he has been aware of and he has decided to ignore, which should draw scrutiny to him. Insults, offensive remarks, and off-color jokes won't get Canadians in trouble with the Liberal government's controversial online hate speech bill, according to Justice Minister Arif Virani. While speaking to The Hill Times' podcast, The Hot Room, Virani claimed that awful but lawful speech will continue to be protected by the Charter and have a place in the public domain. According to Virani, the way that Bill C-63, also known as the Online Harms Act, is written means complaints brought against Canadians that are frivolous and made in bad faith will be filtered out. What will remain are complaints that promote detestation and vilification, such as calls for the extermination of a group. We're not talking about off-color humor or things that are frankly offensive. We're talking about expressions of detestation and vilification, and I know that's fancy terminology, but the basic idea is when you call for the extermination of a group, you're hitting that high level, said Virani. The Canadian Human Rights Tribunal will also have the ability to award costs against people abusing the process for their own personal gain. Additionally, Varani explained that the Canadian Human Rights Commission won't be the final arbiter on online hate complaints. Canadians found to have violated Bill C-63 will have the opportunity to demand a judicial review of the commission's decision. Not everybody is convinced, as civil liberties groups and prominent public figures have come out to oppose the bill. Soon after Bill C-63 was revealed last month, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association demanded significant amendments to the law to address concerns about free speech. Quote, "Our initial assessment reveals that the bill includes overbroad violations of expressive freedom, privacy, protest rights, and liberty. These must be rectified before the bill is passed into law," said the group's general counsel, Mendelssohn Aviv. Canadian author Margaret Atwood also called the law Orwellian and compared it to the draconian measures imposed by tyrannical rulers to quash dissent historically. So, Cosmin, it looks like Justin Trudeau and his cabinet ministers have been on a rhetoric campaign in order to promote the online harms bill and to alleviate the concerns of Canadians who believe that this will have a negative effect on freedom of speech. So does Varani's claims that this law will protect awful but lawful speech and will only go against posts that promote detestation and vilification, do you believe that alleviates the concerns of many Canadians? Or is it something that doesn't alleviate the concerns of Canadians and is just quite frankly rhetoric without any solid backing?
Well, it's hard to believe anything the Liberals say because they're always talking out of both sides of their mouth. We saw it with Bill C-11 and other legislation the Liberals have proposed. So yes, no, it's difficult to take Varani at face value here. Additionally, it's not like the people who judge in the Canadian Human Rights Commission are perfectly objective individuals. They might actually have something to personally gain from issuing these orders and judgments against people found to violate Bill C-63. And if you look at the histories of a lot of the adjudicators who serve on the tribunal and commission, they're lawyers with pasts in human rights law, and they're fully on board with diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives and other things that are popular with the Liberals and the far left. So it's hard to believe that people will get a fair shake when these complaints are brought against them. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a revised defense policy pledging an additional $73 billion in military spending over the next two decades with a heightened priority on the impacts of climate change. Despite the investment, the plan falls short of meeting NATO's 2% GDP spending target, a commitment made by member countries to bolster collective defense capabilities. Trudeau held a press conference announcing Canada's updated defense policy on Monday. Defense Minister Bill Blair and Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland joined him. Canada will invest an additional $8.1 billion over the next 5 years and approximately $73 billion over the next 20 years, said Blair. However, this increase will only elevate Canada's defense spending to 1.76% of GDP by 2030, below the NATO threshold of 2%. The policy, dubbed Our North, Strong and Free, aims to address the evolving security landscape, particularly in the Arctic region. We recognize that with climate change, the opening of the Northwest Passage to ship traffic is going to require a lot more capabilities by Canada to demonstrate and responsibly patrol its own internal waters, he said. Concerns about the environment and climate change made a prominent appearance in the departmental plan. Intensifying environmental crises driven or augmented by climate change and threats posed by malign below-threshold activities, including cyber attacks, disinformation, and foreign interference, require new approaches to national defense, reads the plan. When I looked through this updated defense plan, it did really read like a fluff piece. There wasn't anything that stuck out to me. And you can invest $73 billion into the military, but if you don't have enough people to man the ships and equipment that you're planning on buying, then what's the point? Noah, is this commitment enough to deal with the significant problems the Canadian military is facing in the near future?
I don't think so, Cosmin, and that's to be expected. The Trudeau government throughout their entire tenure have shown that they are not fully committed in investing in a strong military that can secure Canada's defense. I mean, a few years ago, we remember that slow, hot air balloon thing from China that crossed into the United States and eventually crossed into Canadian territory. And we had to ask the United States Air Force to shoot it down because Canada's military just was incapable of doing so, was incapable of deploying onto Canadian soil and shooting down just like a slow-moving balloon, which is extremely embarrassing if you're a Canadian, if you have pride in the Canadian Armed Forces even more so. So I think that, you know, at least the Trudeau government updating Canada's defense policy is a good thing because it does need some updates from their original strong, secured, and engaged. But it doesn't seem to be a strong commitment to any of the key areas of focus that is necessary for ensuring that Canada has an up-to-date defense policy. For example, the North Warning System, it is a system that allows us to detect threats coming into North America. And it is a system that is outdated and needs updating, especially with new technologies being developed in the Chinese military and Russian military. We see how that Russia has developed hypersonic missiles. And that is something that the North Warning System, as it stands right now, is currently unable to detect. So updating the North Warning System is something that is very important, not just to Canada's defense, but North American defense in general. And it is very necessary to invest an adequate enough money into updating that system, but also to just invest in Canada's Arctic defense to giving the armed forces new and updated equipment so that they are able to execute their missions in a safe manner and in a manner in which that is most efficient. So I think the Trudeau government announcing $73 billion over 20 years is very smart because $73 billion is a big figure. And without any context, you might think, oh, well, they're actually getting serious on the defense issue. But that is over 20 years. If you divide 73 by 20, you'll realize that he's only pledging to add a couple of billion dollars to the military's budget on an annual basis, which is a drop in the bucket if you look at what the military needs. They need more personnel. They need more equipment. They need to update the North Warning System. They need to get serious on Arctic defense. There's a lot of other things that I'm missing. Cybersecurity, AI. There's so much that the military needs to do. And $73 billion over 20 years is not going to cut it. That only brings Canada's defense spending up to 1.76% of GDP. And while I believe that the 2% of GDP is a bit of an arbitrary number, it is a number that is worth reaching because it at least shows that your country is at the bare minimum committed to its national defense and not relying on the United States to provide for all of its defense. So I think it is a slightly disappointing announcement by the Trudeau government. It is at the very least something that we can point to that it would perhaps be a update and an improvement on Canada's defense policy from the earlier era of the Trudeau government, but at the same time, it is definitely not sufficient to meeting the demands of the Canadian Armed Forces.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors, and if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.